This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
All right, 3:09, 51 minutes left to go before we hand it over to the second guest live from the Silver Slipper Casino in beautiful Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. I know you all are going to want to sound off about that Saints loss to the Eagles yesterday. Not rad, didn't love it, not panicking, but not particularly happy. Mike Bobby and head coach Dennis Allen will be on at 6:30, followed by tight ends coach Clancy Barone at 7. And then there's two Monday night football games tonight. We're airing the later one, Commanders at Bengals, right here on WWL. The other game will be next door on Bet 92.9 and 1350 AM. In a couple minutes, we're going to talk to Kim Tran, who's the owner and event coordinator of an organization called No Drift, or New Orleans Drifters, about street takeovers. You know, the street takeovers where people jumping on cars and they're doing donuts and spinning around and burning out. Those are dangerous. People get hurt at those. Those are a public safety threat, a nuisance, and a threat. And they drive citizens and law enforcement crazy. But what if there was somewhere to go where those stunts could be done safely and away from our neighborhoods? If that's your kind of thing, you like people, like watching people spin out, burn out, do donuts with their souped up, tricked out cars. This organization, New Orleans Drifters, would like for you to know that they exist and that they are putting on these kind of events right here in Louisiana in places that are not neighborhoods. Ticketed events where you can go and you can bring your family and watch these people do these cool stunts with their cars. So we'll talk to Kim in just a couple minutes from now. I got a couple text messages to read here about prison food. One of the things we've been talking about today, things you've eaten in jail, or maybe you heard that somebody ate in jail. Like maybe you heard that you can turn a bologna sandwich into a burrito, but it wasn't really you that did that. Somebody else that was in jail. Here's a text from Mark in Slidell. He says, "Hey, Ian and Coleman, it was in Angola, and I would make duck l'orange," I think is what he means. Yeah, like duck l'orange, except the orange was high C and the duck was pigeons. You couldn't tell the difference from the real thing?
So now I'm imagining there are people in Angola hunting the pigeons, like making like little makeshift like bow and arrows or darts or something. Like,
oh,
how did they
God.
Capture the pigeon?
Like out of a rubber band in a paper clip or something? You shooting pigeons out in the yard, and then you bring it in. How do you cook it?
I'm amazed at the ingenuity that these visitors that just happen to, you know, go in Angola and OPP the exhibit.
Dang, we are learning a lot about our audience in here today. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate that. I don't know that I would sit down and eat duck orange Angola edition with you, but I'm glad you got to do that while you're in there. Here's a text that says, "The best food I've had in jail was in Germantown, Tennessee. They bought breakfast from McDonald's." Bro, you think you get McDonald's for breakfast every day at the Clink in Germantown, Tennessee? They can't afford that. Maybe it's one of those private prisons. It's got a little extra money to throw around.
So did they get McDonald's breakfast menu? Like, did the jailer make it on time to get to the breakfast menu? Or do they?
Well, you
got to
get there before 10.
Yeah, it's 11 o'clock, sir. We can only give you Whoppers.
Is it 11 now? I've never understood it. Is it 10 or is it 11?
I don't know, because I usually get there around 9 o'clock when I do the breakfast, but I know there is a cutoff point that people get mad about.
I get mad about it. What is it, the one on St. Claude and Franklin? I think some of the people working at that Macca's might be a little confused about when breakfast ends. The same texter says, "The worst food was the liver on Fridays at 201 Poplar in Memphis." Yikes. Don't look forward to those. Here's a text that says, "The best jail food was in Slidell. You had Popeye's chicken." That's awesome. I'm sorry that you were in jail, but I'm glad you got Popeyes out of the deal.
I don't think it counts if it comes from outside the jail.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I'm glad y'all are getting fast food, you know, every once in a while as a treat. Or that's like when they put you in the interrogation room and they're like, you need to tell us everything about the crime that you committed today. Or like your buddy's in the cell next door. He's ratting out on you. You know, we'll bring you some Burger King. They tempt you with that, with the Whoppers.
I would totally fall for it.
I would fall for it, too. I would rat you out in a heartbeat if it meant I got one of those pretzel burgers from Wendy's. Last one here, and then I'll take some calls. Over my late teen and adult years, I unfortunately have done a bit of time in several Louisiana penal institutions for reasons I'll stay mum on here. Good deal. Caddo Parish Correctional Institution, a.k.a. CCI, the food fare was below basic school cafeteria fare. Cheesy lasagna was the big meal of the week. Bossier Parish Jail, lots of hospital-inspired pressed meat sandwiches and fruit cocktail. There were no big meals of the week there. At St. Bernard Parish Prison, there were no good food days. I traded my rancid bologna sandwich for cigarettes, and I didn't even smoke. Bon appetit, all ye culinary cons. Great text. Thank you so much. All right, I've got some calls to get here. We'll start out with Frank in Metairie. Frank, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for your patience, bud. What's on your mind today?
No problem. Look, we're talking earlier when I was in the car about the debate, Harris calling for another debate,
yeah,
and Sid Trump debater. This is what I say. To be fair to both sides,
mm-hmm,
Trump went, as he calls it, into enemy territory twice with their rules and their people they wanted to moderate. I think the smart play for him would be to say, yes, I will debate you on Fox,
mm-hmm,
my rules, and the people I picked to be the moderators. What do you think she would do then?
What do I think she would do? Yeah.
What do you think her camp would say then? Because I really don't hear anything coming from her.
I hear
what people say she says,
yeah,
but I don't hear much from her.
It's a great question, Frank, and I think it's actually, I don't think that will happen, but I wish that it would, honestly. If Donald Trump wants to have a debate on Fox News, they can do that, but what they would probably demand, the Harris campaign, what they would demand in that moment is, okay, we'll do it on Fox News, but we're going to have the same rules that we had for ABC, the same rules that we had for CNN, which are, you know, your microphone is off when it's not your turn to talk. The moderators won't say anything that's not a question. That was the rule for the CNN debate. It was a little different for ABC. And We will only agree if we get to choose the moderators.
I just don't think that they, meaning her people, would let her do it. I think, and look, you know, I'm a veteran, a combat veteran from Vietnam. Trump's done a lot for me with the VA. I haven't decided yet. But what I'm saying is that I'm still not seeing nothing from her.
Mm-hmm.
All I see is word salad. I'm being honest.
Sure.
When I ask you a question, I want a direct answer. And
yeah,
so far, every time they ask a question that I've seen, what little I've seen, there's no direct answer. And that's part of my problem.
Yeah, that frustrates me too, Frank. You know, it's like when you get a direct question, you know, like, why did you change your mind about fracking? And then Kamala Harris or whoever, they all do this. They don't answer the question. Instead, they answer a question that they wish they were asked. You know, they like totally change the subject on you.
That's like when my kids were growing up and you ask them, why'd you do this? And the answer would be because. I say, that's not an answer.
that's not going to fly at home.
It's not an answer.
It shouldn't fly on the debate stage.
I want an answer.
Yeah.
There had to be a reason in your mind why you did it.
Yep. Yeah, just be honest,
man. And I know when you did it, you weren't thinking because.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, people respond positively to honesty in their politicians, but there are too many of them are still afraid to do it. I enjoyed speaking with you today, Frank. Thanks for listening, and thank you for your service. Let's go to JR on the North Shore. You're on the air, bud.
Hey, I want to talk about the prison food.
Okay.
Okay. Real simply, I had a a guy used to work at a halfway house, and I hired him. And at certain days, I'd have to drive him back to the halfway house. And this halfway house was ran by ministry. And they were really, really restricted about being there on time and this, that, and the other, because these guys were technically still under arrest. They were just working, you know, trying to work some time off. But long story short, the ministry would have a truck go around to all the grocery stores and stuff like that, and they'd pick up this food that just expired. You know, the salad that's like one day old, they can't sell it anymore,
yeah,
and stuff like that. Uh-huh. And that's what they ate inside the commissary. Oh. So the food wasn't terrible, you know. But the kicker was, on Friday, I used to have to take him back to the halfway house early, because Friday was the day the truck went to the Saints compound. And they picked up all the food left over the week that the Saints players and all those people over there didn't eat. He says, man, we get steak, we get chicken, we eat good.
No kidding.
You know?
So, oh, man.
So that was the best prison food.
Good deal, man. JR, thank you so much for listening, man. Call anytime. Let's go to Glenn in Metairie. Glenn, welcome to WWL.
How you doing, guy?
I'm good. How are you today?
Pretty good. I usually just text, but I got to answer this one. On jail food, I used to be a policeman in New Orleans, and sometimes we had to go to Jefferson Parish and pick up prisoners and bring them back on capuses. And they didn't want to leave till after meal time. So. but another thing, the main thing is all about you. Jail has got to be comic relief for you guys, man. And I don't want to give the old lady a stroke, but if she goes to CBP.gov and look at crime stats involving immigrants, she will have a stroke, because there's no way, percentage-wise, compared to the amount of immigrants, millions and millions and millions every day that Trump claims is coming over here. Mm-hmm. It is minuscule. And I know crime is crime. I don't care who commits it. It's just a travesty. But percentage-wise, it's not as bad as what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as the candidates go, I can't vote for Trump. That's just, I'm not voting for a felon. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. And, of course, a guy that he, somebody don't ask his questions, he always complains too much. And I can't go for that one.
Yeah.
But I don't believe everything Harris says, but I tell you what, I believe absolutely nothing Trump says. And that's
man.
It.
Glenn, I really couldn't have said it better myself. That's spot on, man. Yeah, I think, and look, about Janice, here's what I love about Janice, is that Janice really cares a lot about what's happening in her local community. And I know mostly what we hear from her is about the border and the migrant crime and all that. And that's why she's voting for Trump. Because not just she likes his personality, but she likes his policies. Janice also calls her local officials constantly to ask them questions, to demand answers. She is a highly activated citizen journalist in that regard. And I think that's really incredibly admirable. I think it's not just like, you know, partisan hyper weirdness. It's she actually really does care and knows that you can get these people on the phone sometimes. If not the elected official, you can get their chief of staff or somebody that works in constituent services, and you can really make your voice heard. And sometimes you can get answers that in other cases you'd have to wait for the media to get. And then it's kind of going through this filtration system, and maybe you trust that outlet or maybe you don't, but Janice goes right to the source for a lot of these things, and I think that's really, really admirable. We have to step away here and come back. We'll get a look at traffic with Joe Cardosi. And when we come back, we'll be speaking to Kim Tran from New Orleans Drifters. I can't wait to hear the rest of this conversation. Stick around. I'm Ian Hoke on WWL.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care, All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Be right back after this. Okay. On the Oakar Jewelers talking text line, there's some confusion about when we get breakfast and when we get lunch. Rick at the beach says, hey, man, I wired 7 McDonald's in and around San Antonio. Breakfast was until 11 because I had to stay on opening day until the first burgers were cooked at 10 past 11. Thank you, Rick. Another text says 10:30 is the breakfast cutoff at Mickey D's, Chick-fil-A, Wendy's, etc. Well, which is it, guys? Is it 11 or is it 10:30? Here's a text that says, I used a homemade blowgun to shoot pigeons and drop them. Okay, so not a homemade bow and arrow, a homemade blowgun. Well, we're learning a lot about prison life today. Hey, and again, I know some people texted in. They were like, there's nothing glorious about prison life. I'm not trying to glorify being in jail. I don't think it's cool to be in jail. We're just having a conversation about prison food. And now for something completely different. Joining me on the line right now is Kim Tran. Kim is the owner and event coordinator for New Orleans Drifters. Kim, welcome to the show.
Hey, Ian. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely welcome, man. Thanks for making time today. Okay, so the way that I've been kind of framing this story for our audience is that New Orleans Drifters is an organization that's trying to kind of professionalize street racing in New Orleans so that everybody can enjoy it. But I don't know if I'm actually kind of using the right term there. Is it street racing? Is that what you guys do? Drifting is kind of a different thing. In your words, tell us what New Orleans Drifters does.
It's kind of, you're on the right path. So drifting is a type of motorsports. You know, it's originated in Japan. And that's what we do. We host drift events so that people have a safe place and a confined place to do it.
Great. So, if people hear about this and they picture, like, what happens in The Fast and the Furious, is that closer or farther away from what we see at your events?
Yeah, pretty much Fast and Furious 2, Tokyo Drift.
Tokyo Drift, right, yeah.
Yep.
Great. Okay, well, what inspired you to create a space for these sort of organized street? And let me guess also, so when we say, like, a street takeover, that would be where people come out with their cars. They put the word out on social media. They say, hey, we're all going to be at, you know, the corner of Franklin and, St. Claude or something. And then people will do the burnouts and they'll do the donuts and whatever. We call that a street takeover. What do you call it when you have that event, like in an organized space where it's like a ticketed event? How do you describe that?
We basically just call our events drifting events. You know, takeovers is a little bit of drifting, but it's not everything we do. You know, what we do at events, it incorporates like speed, you know, skill, shifting of gears, braking, acceleration. All the things that they're doing at the takeovers are just kind of like, you know, cutting up, showboating, doing donuts, acting a fool and stuff like that.
Okay.
So we have a little bit more rules and regulations to go by. And all that, you know, just to make a safe, fun learning environment for anybody, pretty much.
So what New Orleans at your drift event, you give people points for the skill in which they're able to drift and do these different sort of tricks with their cars?
So we have competition events and non-competition events. So non-competition events are pretty much practice days. Anybody with a car could come sign up. You basically have the track all day long to drive. So from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., you drive as much as you can until you run out of tires, your car breaks down, or anything like that. So, you know, with our experienced drivers, we have people at the events to show all the non-experienced drivers, you know, what to do. It's a community-based thing. So, like, let's say if you're new and I'm experienced, and you have a car like mine, I could jump in your car and show you how to, you know, do things, or you could just take a ride in my car, look at the way I initiate certain drifts, how fast am I going, what techniques I'm using, and things of that nature. So, you know, it's a little bit more detailed, but that's basically the gist of things at our events. It's just an open practice on practice days, and then competition days, it's more geared towards the experienced people that want to compete and, you know, and get points and then have some kind of ranking system.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay, so tell us about how one of these drift events is typically structured. Like, if I'm going to a drift event, you know, what should I expect in terms of how much money I'm going to spend, what kind of activities, entertainment's going to be available? Kind of pitch me on that.
Sure. So our events are open to any level of driving, from beginners to, you know, veterans or experienced or pros. Typically, you just come on our website, nodrift.com. NODRFT.com, sign up as a registered driver. From there, you just, you know, on our event days to show up. We have a calendared time. So let's say gates open at 7. We have a driver's meeting at 8:45. So as long as from 7 to 8:45 you get there, you know, kind of unload your car, settle down. We'll get you signed up for in-person driving. We'll go through a full driver's meeting with everybody, talk about the rules, you know, the do's and don'ts, how to act on course, what to do, what not to do. And then pretty much after that, at 9 o'clock, we just open the track and cars line up and you just drive all day long. For more structured learning, you know, that people that need, you know, one-on-one base, we have experienced drivers like myself. I've been doing this for like 15 plus years. I have to give out one-on-one lessons, jump in people's cars, and show them what to do. But pretty much we set up a course at each event. And the course, you know, it's pretty much set up with cones and chalk. So it's in a big old open skid pad at Nolan Motorsports. And you just drive the course until you learn the entire course, how to drift certain turns. We advise for new people, you know, not to try to learn the entire course off the bat. Just take one turn at a time, you know, until you get it, and then you could kind of connect the entire thing.
Yeah.
That's basically it. It's pretty much just open driving all day long.
You guys got the you got food trucks out there or something? You, like, get a bite to eat? You got a bouncy castle for the kids? Like, how elaborate are these events beyond just what's happening with the cars?
Sure. So, for drifting wise, we offer the drifting space. We do contact some of the local food trucks. Lately, we've been having Mo Fries come through. They've been coming through pretty consistently. And then Full Bistro and Extreme Food and Treats to Go. There are some, you know, local food trucks that's from the West Bank that usually come out. As far as other entertainment, you know, the Motorsports have a great facility. So, you know, you go there one weekend to watch just drift. They might have some regular car racing on the north track. If you have some kids, you could probably take them to the go-kart track where they have, like, axe throwing, a bunch of arcade games, and then go-karting. So the facility where we host our drift events have an abundant array of other entertainment for, you know, just not just drifters. Like, anybody that's, like, a motorsports fan could have fun out there.
Great. And you did mention the NOLA Motorsports Park. That's where all these drift events are going down?
Yeah, that's pretty much our home track right now. You know, it's in our backyard. We do have another track in Donaldsonville called No Problem Raceway that sometimes we host drift events out there too.
Yeah. Great. I just want to make sure we highlight that so people know this is a legal, sanctioned, organized, ticketed event. You know, this is a really far cry from the stuff you see on the, you know, on the 6 o'clock news where people are, you know, spinning out, you know, in our neighborhoods. Totally, totally different thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And I know you had an event quite recently that was just for the ladies. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So last week on September 14th, it was our first ever ladies event. It was called Crudy Femme. It's hosted by Melanie Richard. She's one of our experienced 350Z drivers. She pretty much, you know, hosted an all-day ladies event where it was just ladies driving. We had sold out all the driver spots at 28 women, and they all range from all of the Gulf Coast South, like from Orlando, and I think as far as Austin, we had drivers coming from. So it was a very fun event. All the ladies had a great time. No one really had any issues with cars. I think Melanie sold out all of her merchandise. So it was, you know, it was one for the books, and we're for sure going to do another one next year.
Great. I love it. Okay, so in my imagination, Kim, you have kind of two, or maybe even more, two groups of people you really need to reach out to. And I would say that group A is the people who are doing those, you know, I'll say disorganized, illegal, unsanctioned street drifting events in our neighborhoods. You got to reach out to those people and say, hey, if you love doing that, you know, on St. Claude Avenue, you're really going to love doing it over at NOLA Motorsports. You got to reach out to those folks. But then you got to reach out to people who all they know about those events is that they're illegal and dangerous and everyone hates them. But they might really love to come out with their family to the NOLA Motorsports Park and watch these guys and gals do what they do out there. So what's your method of communicating with the first group, for example? Like, how do you reach out to the people in the underground street racing drifting scene? How do you reach out to them and let them know, hey, there's a place where you can come do this safely in a competition setting? You know, maybe you can get prizes and get some notoriety and learn something you didn't know before. How do you reach those folks?
Yeah, that's a great question, Ian. So we use social media to the full extent, from, you know, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, all that stuff. We also have a Facebook group page where it's called NOLA Drifters. We have over 3,000 members there, and we are constantly getting just random members trying to become part of the group. And a lot of lately, I think this year and last year, it has been a lot of, I guess, takeover, if you want to call it, drivers. So we have been getting some transition of those people into our events, which is good. But other than that, you know, I don't personally go out to those events, so I'm not going to be out there, you know, trying to, like, promote my events.
Yeah.
Things like that. You know, I used to do that when I was a kid back in the day, but it wasn't as crazy as it is today. Mm-hmm. So it's just now, since I'm older, I just try to stay away from those places. But for the people that are a part of those groups that come to our events, we usually just kind of have them be our voice and try and, you know, bring their people into our events. As, you know, as a more communal type of way of being a culture instead of just a looking down upon culture out there on the streets.
Yeah. Great. Okay, so for people who aren't already sort of initiated or in the scene, you know, you would recommend your Facebook page, your website. If there's people listening right now and they say, oh, you know what, this actually sounds like a damn good time, I'm going to go check out one of these drift events, where do they go? What do they do?
So first, they could go on our website, nodrift.com, N-O-D-R-F-T.com. We have a full schedule listed there. They could, you know, Instagram, Facebook, NoDrift too. We also post on there all the time. Our next event will be October 26th and 27th. It's a two-day event. So one of the first days will be a practice day, and the second day is a competition. And on our two-day events, we always encourage, you know, friends and family to come out. It's always a good time because you have all kind of different levels of driving and entertainment that you could be a part of. For people to come out to spectate, we don't charge for you to come watch. So it's entirely free.
Nice.
Even if you want to ride in the car, all we ask is you can bring a helmet so that you can just jump in a car and go. now, when you ride with someone, it is, you know, based on the driver's discretion. So if they just kind of in the zone trying to, like, work on their own thing, they might just want that. But you have we usually have, like, 50-plus cars that you could just pick and choose and jump into. So that's no problem.
That's awesome.
We do have loaner helmets, which are limited. So that's why sometimes we ask people to bring their own helmets. That way you're not sharing helmets with other people, too.
Fascinating. Man, I love this.
But yeah.
Great. Okay, a couple other quick questions I'm getting on the text line here. Here's one, a text message that says, what kind of insurance does one need to participate in drifting?
You only need whatever insurance you need to drive the car on the street. Mm-hmm. So, like, all my cars are liability. So I drive my car to the track, you know, I load it with tires, I drift, and I go home. So it could be very affordable. If you make it affordable for yourself, you know, you don't have to go out and buy, like, a truck and a trailer and all this stuff just to get into it. You know, if you're kind of new and want to check it out, you have a car that's like, oh, it's rear-wheel drive, it's manual, let me just try this. I just suggest bring it out, check out some of the events, and if it's something that you think you like to do, you know, just kind of sign up for an event and try it out.
Very cool. I thought this was very interesting. Thank you so much, Kim, for being a part of the show today. That next event is October what now?
October 26th and 27th at NOLA Motorsports.
Great. Okay, we'll keep an eye out for that, and we'll let people know about it again as we get closer to it. Anything else you want our folks to know before we let you go?
Oh, yeah. I do want to talk about, we have an annual end-of-the-year event called End-of-Year Bash. That is basically our extravaganza event at NOLA Motorsports. It's also 2 days, and this year is December 14th, 15th. We typically have drivers from all over the U.S. come out. On Saturday, we usually have over 12 hours of drifting, so we'll start at 9, probably don't end to like 9 or 10 o'clock at night. After that night, it's a little like driver's party session, and then we start it all over again the next day on Sunday.
Wow.
So
cool.
Anybody out there that can't make the October event, you definitely should want to make the end of year bash on December 14th, 15th. That'll be, kind of like the grand finale before.
Yeah.
Great. End of year in a new park.
Very cool. All right. You can learn more at their website, NODRFT.com. No drift without the I. Or you can also just look for them on social media. New Orleans Drifters. Kim Tran is my guest, the owner and event coordinator for New Orleans Drifters. This was really fun. A nice change of pace for us in a busy political season. Thank you so much, brother. Good luck out there.
Thank you, Ian.
Absolutely right. Okay. We'll step away here and come back. I got room for a couple more calls and texts before we step away. I'll see if I have any more delicious prison food recipes over here. I don't know, man. Don't microwave Dorito bags. That seems a little whack. Hey, Wayne. There's some people on the Okunar Jewelers talking text line here who got big feelings about street drifting. Here's one that says, taking over the streets doesn't have anything to do with displaying drifting talents. It's about being fed up with corrupt cops. I would not have guessed that.
Wait, are they saying they're protesting corrupt cops by drifting on the streets?
Yes.
How does drifting on the street stop corrupt police officers?
Yeah, I got some advice for you. If you want to protest corrupt cops, you may find a more direct action than going and doing donuts on Almonaster. But we're all here to do what we're all here to do. There's another text down here that says, "Oh, where did it go? Oh, yeah, this texter says people who do street takeovers will not come to this guy's event because the cars are stolen on street takeovers. It's not their vehicles; they are in stolen vehicles. Well, look." I mean, there's a couple different ways to look at this. Like, there are people who are interested in doing, drifting and racing and those kinds of things. Would they make an appearance at a street takeover? Maybe, maybe not. Kim just told us he doesn't go to those things, but he's the center of this organization, New Orleans Drifters, that they've been doing this for decades. The texter goes on to say, what I'm saying is the people who are doing the illegal street takeovers are not going to go to this guy's events because they're in stolen vehicles, but maybe they wouldn't have to, that wouldn't stop them from going to an event where they could do this drifters. They still get to show off for all the babes and everything, right? I don't know. Well, that's what I heard. Let's go to James on the North Shore real quick. James, good afternoon. What's on your mind?
All right, man. And not all them cars are stolen, because the guys that got caught last year from Baton Rouge and their cars got confiscated. So that's all a bunch of BS. Mm-hmm. So one thing I'd like to say real quick is to talk about jail and stuff, I'd like to give a shout out to Chief Bradley and Creighton from the Hazen, Arkansas Police Force. They were in a bad accident the other night on Live PD, on Patrol Live, when you're watching it live and you're actually watching these people, you're inside the car with them. And they got in a bad accident with someone running from them, and they hit one of their own guys, kind of crashed into them. And it was just the wildest thing, being in the car with them, seeing they were definitely injured. And I just want to send a shout-out to them, and anyone that watches On Patrol Live would understand, so God bless them. And I want to say one thing real quick about food, being inside. Look, man, you can like the food all you want, but you got to be able to actually keep it. A lot of people, when they get inside jail, might get the zuzus. That don't mean you're going to keep them. They might get taken from you. So, man,
you going to eat your cornbread?
Because trust me. Yeah, they will take your cornbread in there, Coleman. Trust me that. And I wanted to say something real quick about how Trump talks about policies, and people say how they love Trump's policies. I would say his health care policy is to get people back on work insurance. So your health care would come from having a job. And if not that, you would have to have state insurance. So the state would have to pay for your insurance. And we know how crappy all that is. And that's why he won't come out and say what his policy. That's why he says, I have concepts. He has concepts. I'm making it with people with pre-existing conditions wouldn't be able to get health insurance no more. You have to have a job to have insurance, or you'd have to go back to state insurance. And then we have people like here in Louisiana where they're trying to cut the tax and all that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Jeff Landry understood how much the insurance crisis would play a role in all this. Because if you cut them taxes right now, there's a lot of people who, without the insurance crisis, would have probably been set off to be okay.
Yeah.
But those programs are going to take away from their mother, their grandparents, their parents, their children, who might have disabilities, who need help, who have parents who need, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's a horrible idea to get rid of this tax right now, and more people need to fight for this tax.
Word. It's not a thing you hear terrible. More people need to fight for this tax. Maybe not a super popular opinion, James, but thanks for being a part of the show. Yeah, just real quickly, you know, going back and briefly to the personality versus policy discussion. If you say that Trump's personality sucks, but you like his policies, I think what you're doing is actually inventing policies that you believe that he had, that you believed helped people, in order to make up for being so enthralled to someone who's so unworthy of your intention. His whole approach to policy is nothing but what you see in his personality. You cannot really approach, you can't separate the two. All the most important people that ever worked for him confirm this, whether it was his sleazy lawyers and his fixers, or as the four-star generals and lifelong Republicans that served in his cabinet, to his own vice president. They all say this. His policies are bad because his personality is bad. We'll stop there, and we'll get a look at traffic with Joe Cardosi. Come back and just wrap up things a little bit, tell you a little bit more about weather that's going to be coming your way this week, and then we'll hand it off to the news with Chris Miller, and then second guest right after that, Ian Hoken for Scoot, BRB. Forecasters say computer models are calling for a tropical formation in the Caribbean moving into the Gulf the next couple of days. It could be a serious threat. Peyton Malone says it very well could be a major hurricane as it nears landfall on Thursday. Overall, the concern level for Louisiana is decreasing, but we'll keep an eye on the system, and we at WWL will keep you informed every step of the way. I got to thank Coleman, Scoot, Diane, Dan, Joe, and Chris. Here's a text message that says Joe Burrow versus Jaden Daniels tonight. Should be interesting. Stick around for second guest, followed by the Saints coaches show on Monday Night Football. I'll be back tomorrow. Have a great night.